Hello everyone, it's Pastor Adam, and this is Leadership Lessons, and with me today is...
Go ahead.
I'm Pastor Donnie. Nice to be with you today.
You thought I was going to introduce you, didn't you? You can tell we're off to a great start. Leadership Lessons with Pastor Adam today, and we're going to go in a little bit of a different direction when I ask... Pastor Donnie to join me today. The Lord's been showing me something, and I thought, you know, while it isn't leadership specific, it is something that we all struggle with, whether we're a leader or not. So I wanted to kind of dive into something different a little bit today, Pastor Donnie, and I shared with you earlier a little bit about what the Lord's been dealing with me on, and so for everyone listening today, we're going to get into this, and I know it will help you today. Probably even convict you, but it really will. We're going to talk a little bit here in a moment about when to keep your mouth shut.
You know, and leaders need to know that. So this does apply to leaders.
It does.
It applies to everyone, but really leaders, sometimes I know leaders really get themselves in trouble just because they don't know when to just be quiet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So this is good.
Yeah, it's true. You know, there's times where we have to be quiet. I saw someone I know posted something on social media today, and they said, you know, my silence does not mean that I'm in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to thinking about that, and, you know, a lot of times people interpret our silence as being in agreement, but oftentimes if I'm silent, it's probably because I'm about to be critical.
Exactly, exactly.
So versus being critical, I just... quiet, you know.
My dad used to tell me. He said, you know, when you open up your mouth, people know if you're that you're a fool.
Yeah.
You know. So if you keep your mouth silent, he used to say, if you just keep your mouth shut, then they don't know which one you are.
Right. Right.
So.
That's true. That's definitely true. So we'll dive into this a little bit and just share with you a little bit what's on our heart. I'm not going to go through it all, but the complete teaching will be in a upcoming teaching that I'll be doing here at the church. So. But we want to dive into it a little bit today, since it's been on my heart.
Sounds good.
And one of the first ones that really stand out to me, we know it well, but I want to jump down to another one real quick. When to keep your mouth shut? If your words will be a poor reflection of the Lord, your friends or your family.
Wow.
And the scripture, first I'll read it out of the Message Bible. It says, watch your words and hold your tongue. You'll save yourself a lot of grief. That's out of Proverbs 21:23. It reads like this in 1 Peter 2. It says, it was to this that God called you, for Christ himself suffered for you and left you an example, so that you would follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no one ever heard a lie come from his lips. When he was insulted, he did not answer back in an insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but placed his hopes in God, the righteous judge. So if your words will be a poor reflection of the Lord, your friends, and your family. And I think sometimes we just speak. There's some people that just talk for the sake of being talking.
True.
There's some people who talk because they're desperate to be recognized or desperate to be included in a conversation. And I think sometimes... in doing that, they become a poor reflection on the Lord, their friends, their family. You know, if you're a wife and you're talking, but you're giving a poor reflection of your husband.
Not good. Or the other way around.
Right, right. Or we do it in the sense, I don't want to talk bad about them, but would you pray, you know, about this? And we end up giving a poor reflection mm-hmm. of them. And, you know, and with people, we base judgments on people, and we don't even often realize that we do, but when you tell me something, I'm going to make a judgment on that or that person.
Exactly.
And so we have to keep our mouth shut in a moment like that.
Well, so many times people, when I was looking at this, this scripture out of 1 Peter chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
When Jesus was insulted, he did not come back with an answer. So many times we feel like we have to defend ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times in the Word tells us if we hold our peace
right.
and let the Lord fight our battle, be silent, be still.
Right.
So many times the Lord says that, just be still. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. Sometimes we have to have wisdom to know when to speak and when not to, because sometimes we don't need to defend ourselves. Let God do it for you. Because most of the time, I find out when I try to defend myself, what's the old saying with the lawyer? He who defends himself has a fool for a client.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
When I try to defend myself, I have a fool for a client.
Yeah.
And so I end up making it worse than what it was.
Right.
So those are good words. When Jesus, you know, was insulted, he never opened his mouth.
Yeah.
Bible says he was like a lamb led to the slaughter. He didn't come back in retribution. We feel like we've got to defend ourselves or we've got to strike back.
Yeah.
You know, if they hurt me, I have to hurt them.
Yeah.
Well, that's just a flesh thing.
Right.
You know, that's just, that doesn't really even matter. We do it, and mm-hmm. we all do it. I don't care who we are.
Yeah.
But it's really just a flesh thing. They hurt our flesh, I'm going to hurt them back. And that's not what Jesus said.
Right.
That's not his example. So that becomes that poor reflection of him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another one that sticks out to me that I had out of 20 couple that the Lord had shown me is in the heat of anger, you know, which we talk about a lot, but, you know, especially in the church. But we need to keep everyone quiet in the heat of anger. The Bible says in Proverbs, people with a hot temper do foolish things. Wiser people remain calm.
Ouch.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard, but this journey that we're on, and I've often referred to it as a progressive walk of salvation.
Yes.
You know, that, you know, we grow and learn and have got to learn, as coming off of what you just said, that, you know, keeping our peace at times. And when we get angry, back to our spouse, couples, people that we often argue with, you know, more frequently than others.
True.
We feel like, you know, we have to raise our voice to be heard.
Yeah.
And there's another one that's on here that has exactly to do with that. You know, I don't know if you saw it or not.
Yes, I did.
You know,
you got to scream.
Right. If you have to scream to say something, you shouldn't even be saying it.
Yeah.
You know? And yet all this is in the Word of God.
Yeah.
And we've got to be a people that learn what it is to, you know, when we're angry, to refrain from speaking. A lot of the damage, and through the years of counseling, and I've done a lot of counseling through the years, you know, with people and the church and whatnot, and a lot of the issues that people bring into a counseling session, you know, to us as pastors, usually has to do with not so much what someone has done, but I spend so much time talking about what one said to the other, and they'll spend a lot of that session going back and forth, and I tend to take a lot of time, especially in the first 1 to 3 sessions, to just listen, and I make a lot of notes, and I find that it's a lot of the wounds that we inflict on people is based on what we said, and usually in a moment of anger.
True. We get so caught up in what they hurt me, and so that sticks with some people.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, they said. Well, and it's not even sometimes even the words, it's their tone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because really, as people, we receive things, we communicate better by tone than we do by the actual words. So sometimes it's not even the actual word.
Right.
One of my favorite words, not to use, but to use for an example for this, is the word fine.
Uh-huh.
Fine can mean so many things depending on the tone. You know, are you okay today? I'm fine. You
right,
know?
Right.
That's that may, and the word seems like you're okay, but it's not.
Right.
And so we have to be careful, not just the words even, but in our anger sometimes we don't realize that our tone is displaying really the heat of it. And we hold on to that. Other people, someone else will hold on to that, and they will, you know, they'll say, well, it's not really the word, but I remember when he said this.
Yeah.
And they'll connect with that tone. And so we really have to be careful. If we're angry, the Bible says be angry, but sin not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes when we're angry, just keep our mouth shut.
Yeah.
Because we're in our anger, we always do the wrong thing.
Right.
We never do the right thing out of anger.
Right. Right.
You know?
It was funny. I just heard on the news just today as we were recording it, coming back to the office, our UN ambassador, you know, Nikki Haley.
Oh, my.
Was just speaking to a young group of college kids and asked them how many of them posted something on social media out of anger, mm-hmm. and used perverse words. And, you know, there was like a chuckle throughout the crowd. And, you know, she even chuckled and she said, you know, and someone yelled out, yeah, but it feels so good.
It does.
And she chuckled and she said, it does. But she went on to explain why not to do that. And she went on to explain, you know, as a national security issue, why that's so important. She said, because she said it breaks down, you know, who we are as a people and our just our dignity and our respect for one another.
Wow.
And she said, you know, liberal, Republican, conservative, whatever you are, she said, it's not about... We have to think beyond, be more mature than it feels so good, and realize who we are as humanity and what our message as humanity needs to be. And I just thought, wow, here's a woman with some wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, speaking to some young, you know, young politicians, they're still in school. And I just thought, you know, she's educating them. And instead of, you know, going on there and blasting and doing what we do in all caps or whatever, you know. And I just thought, you know, she's teaching them to refrain from anger. You know, don't lash out. You know, don't do that. But you know, wisdom, you know, what you do. So it just, as you were speaking, I couldn't help but think about her just today, you know. And when this will be up and available, it'll be old news by then. But nonetheless, now, anyways, it's was a story on the news.
That's, you know, and she's, that is wisdom, you know, because... We do that. We sometimes lash out, and whether people realize, some people may not, all caps mean you're yelling.
Yeah.
And so even if you're not aware of that, but somehow that caps button gets stuck, you're yelling at that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that can, set the tone.
Absolutely.
And make people think they're angry at me.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely. So, yeah, good wisdom.
Yeah,
good
for
wisdom
sure.
From.
For sure. I'm going to share one more, and then Pastor Donnie, I'll let you look at one that maybe is standing out to you that I had put down there. The last one on this first sheet that I'll go over is, if your words will damage a friendship.
That was one I was actually. That's good.
Yeah, and the scripture that I want to read is Proverbs 16:28. I'm going to read it in two different translations because I think it's important. It says, gossip is spread by wicked people. They stir up trouble and break up friendships. And that's Proverbs 16:28. Another translation puts it this way. In the English Standard, it says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. I think the King James says chief friends. And, you know, I always have an issue sort of, especially in the church, when you see people whispering. It's just one of those things that, you know, you're getting ready for church and you see two people sitting there and they're just kind of whispering and you're like, what? You know, or during service or during the altar call, I just want to say, I want to like shake them, you know, or whatever. But, you know, just really to think about that, a whisperer can separate chief friends. You know what I mean? A person that kind of going from here or there. But I love how this the TEV version puts it, gossip is spread by wicked people. And really, I mean, that just sums it up. And yet we all can so easily get caught up in it, you know, in gossip. But really, I mean, the word just, don't you just love how sometimes the word just spells it out? That gossip is spread by wicked people. That when we get caught up in it, the word is saying, you know, it's wickedness.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no question about what this is saying.
Yeah.
You know, now sometimes we have to understand what gossip really is.
Right.
You know, and gossip isn't going to your neighbor and saying, will you pray about this particular person?
Right.
And here's why.
Right.
You know, because, and we were talking about this before we went on mic, how sometimes that will already sow a seed of judgment in you.
Mm-hmm.
Before you even start praying, you already have a preconceived notion that this is what that person is doing. And so that's gossip, people.
Yeah.
You don't need to go to somebody else and say, pray about somebody. Whether it's a close friend or not, really, you don't have to do that. We forget sometimes that that's why we have Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Does not Holy Spirit tell us who it went and who to pray for and what about?
Right.
You know, we really don't need other people going around doing the work of Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because all it does is it damages people.
Right.
Because when I tell you something, it then sows that seed of judgment in your heart. And whatever even though my judgment on them may have been stilted, you know, may have been skewed.
Right.
Now your view of them is skewed.
Right.
And so there's times as a pastor you got to share some things, but you know, we got to really be careful and understand, discern. Sometimes it's best just to pray to God. Mm-hmm. If God isn't big enough to handle it, then you're out of luck anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if God can't handle it, your friend ain't going to help.
Right.
So,
right.
It's good words.
You know, years ago I did a teaching on, you know, how to deal with an evil report. And mm-hmm. one of the things, you know, I taught in there was, and when people come to you and they say, you know, they bring something to you, or they say, you know, I don't mean to gossip, but pray for me. And I said, one of the things you have to ask is, you know, what's your intent in telling me? You know, is this... You know, is it that you really have a heart of prayer here, or is it to just spread you know, gossip? And we have to, you know, check our motives even before we share something. You know, what's my intent on telling someone this?
Yes.
You know, is it that I really want prayer, or am I looking for sympathy? Am I looking to be the victim? You know, whether we're a leader or not, that, you know, we have to really check our motives and know that, you know, some of the things that happen sometimes in our churches and as leaders and amongst our leadership, you know, can be solved right here. You know, gossip is spread by wicked people. They stir up trouble and break up friendships. You know, how many times people leave ministries and churches and whatnot because of that right there?
Not because of what actually happened, but because someone else opened their mouth.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I've seen that happen. People leave church not because of necessarily what the pastor did or said, but because someone said something to someone else and they thought the pastor said or did something.
Yeah.
You know, well, yeah. And instead of going to the pastor and getting the truth, you know, going to the horse's mouth, so to speak, they just leave. And so that can break up a church, a business.
Absolutely.
You know, I've seen businesses, you know, some businesses, and I've talked to different people, certain businesses are known for this,
mm-hmm.
but it's like it's like everybody's just always gossiping about one another, especially small business, but even big businesses, it gets around.
Oh yeah,
you know, I've worked at a place one time with over 200 people, in just that one department, and oh my goodness, if somebody said one thing, it didn't take the rest of the day for the whole department to know it.
That's true.
You know, and then all those people now think bad about that first person.
Right.
You know, it's sad. So keep your mouth shut.
Amen. Another reason to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
You know, is there something that stands out to you of any of these that I was...
There was one that really stuck out, other than that one you just did, which was... I wanted that one. You stuck.
No, I'm sorry.
No, I'm kidding. But there was one on here, keep your mouth shut when you're feeling critical.
Mm.
You know, if my heart isn't right... then I just need to be quiet, because I'm going to be critical of a lot of things.
Yeah.
I know sometimes, if especially when you're tired, you can be more critical.
Yeah.
If you're just dealing with a lot of things, you're going to be more critical. You know, there's been times that just whatever it is I'm facing, and you can be driving down the road, and the littlest thing that person does in front of you, you're yelling at them.
Yep.
I've done that, and it's sad to say. I'm convicted. I've done it. You know, and I really try to bless them, Jesus, be like those Southerners, bless their heart, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and because when you have a critical spirit for whatever reason, just you're going to spew that out on other people. It's going to come out even in things that you're not mad about or anything. It's going to start coming out. And there's a scripture for here that was really good out of James chapter 3, and it says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness.
Amen.
You know, road rage, you know.
Yeah. Oh, Lord,
You know, that person, you know, it may be a 70, but it's sad, going down the interstate, and 70-mile-an-hour speed limit, you know, most people go a lot faster than that, but that person in front of you is going 70.
Yeah.
And sometimes, if you're not careful, you tend to just get upset at them because they're going the speed limit. I've caught myself in that. Why don't they just move it?
Yep.
And here, they're going the speed limit.
Yeah.
You know? And that's just little things, but there's even between relationships, friendships, church.
Yeah.
You know, it can damage so much.
Yeah.
you know, just because we didn't deal with something beforehand.
Yeah.
And now we have that critical heart. Yeah. And so everything we say is with that same critical spirit.
Right. So. Amen. You know, I wanted to dive a little deeper when you chose this one. So I want to list these quickly, and I don't have time to go through them because, you know, this is only a brief podcast. But in the full teaching we do, I'll go into them more. But motives behind a critical spirit.
Uh-oh.
Aren't you glad you chose
yes,
that
yes,
one?
Yes, I am.
The first one is a self factor. And that can include like jealousy and envy, vengeance, anger, hatred, you know, some other things. The fear factor can be derived from fear.
Okay.
Mm. Or the control factor. It's a feeling that we're out of control. And so we can, and I've seen it, manipulation used, and shaming someone in order to gain control. But then also I want to mention really quickly, since you chose that one, the effects of a critical spirit. And jump down here. Because there's just no time to go into all this, but that's a good one right there. The types of critical spirit is what I wanted to mention as well. The gossiper, which we've already pretty much covered, you know, and that so we have to really identify here. Mm-hmm. The slanderer, and they're different.
Yes, they are.
All right. Judgmentalism, or just the complainer.
Really? There are those?
You know, and all of that comes from a critical spirit. And
yes.
And there's a lot. I had done a teaching some years ago now when I did a teaching on the mind and overcoming the battles in our mind about our critical spirit and some in-depth about it. And it's a real issue with some of us because it's sort of a mentality that we can easily grab onto and stay there for a while, mm-hmm. you know. But, you know, I love that scripture that you shared in James. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Yeah. You know, life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
Simple as that. So it's another time we got to keep our mouth quiet. I'll have you share another one here in the final moments that we'll have. But another one that stuck out to me, hopefully I'm not taking it from you, is if you would be ashamed of your words later.
Wow.
And, boy, Proverbs 8:8. Proverbs 8:8, it says, all the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. And I have to think about, in other words, times when we say things, then we have to go back and apologize later. You know, the very fact that we have to apologize is evidence that we're ashamed.
Yes, yes.
Know? And so we apologize because, you know, we're ashamed by them. And this is another time when we have to keep our mouth quiet. We have to keep our mouth shut if we'll be ashamed of our words later. That's a good
ouch.
One.
Ouch.
Yeah, I know.
Ouch.
Not easy.
How many times have you or I or anyone listening, have we said something out of that anger or whatever, and we've had to go back and apologize for it?
Yeah.
Whether to a spouse or to our children.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen that. It actually needs to happen more than it does.
Yeah.
But so many times parents out of anger will speak, and then later they should go back and apologize to their children.
Yeah.
Because of the attitude and the motive behind their speaking.
Yeah.
Was anger or whatever, you know. And so it was, if you have to go back and tell your children you're sorry, it's okay, but learn from it.
Yeah.
You should go back and tell your children you're sorry.
Yeah.
Or someone in the church or whatever, but you should learn from it and
yeah.
understand that if you know that you're going to later, that's why you should never do anything in the heat of anger.
Right.
Because when you do, your chances are you're going to have to go back later and yeah. apologize.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're ashamed of it.
Absolutely. No. Absolutely. And, you know, as you look and prepare to share another one, you know, it doesn't really happen a lot in the church, I don't think, enough. I think in the church we sort of avoid it. More than I think we really should. I see a lot of people in the world will, you know, talk to their friends and ask for forgiveness more than mm-hmm. we do in the church.
Sure, you're right.
Among one another, almost as if we have an attitude as though we're justified
yeah.
in what we said. or, you know, I'd apologize, but, you know, or you don't know what they did to me, or, you know, the word says, and we come up with all these, you know, excuses and reasons. And I just really believe that we have to value relationship more in the body of Christ, you know, instead of just, you know, oh, I get mad and I'm going to leave. And start valuing relationship more to say, you know what, I'm sorry, what I said was wrong, or I never should have repeated that, or, you know, this is not what a real friend does, you know.
Just recently, I had something happen, and someone had came up to me, and I was in a hurry to begin with, and things weren't going well that day. you're very familiar. Anyway, someone came up to me, and I didn't really say it out of anger necessarily or anything like that, but I looked at them and I said, I don't have time to talk about it right now.
Yeah.
But the way I said it was very rude.
Mm-hmm.
Was very, very rude. And that person just got all mad and, you know, whatever. And a few days after that, I went to that person because I was being convicted. And I went to that person and I said, look, I'm very sorry for how I said it. I still didn't want to talk about it, but right. I said, I just didn't want to talk about it. And right. I said, if I came across as rude, I apologize, because that was not my intention to be rude. I just didn't have the time nor the emotional energy to talk about
right.
it. And that person still holds a grudge to me now because of it.
Wow.
And I'm like, we really have to be careful, because my intention was never to damage.
Yeah.
But yet, in my haste, I did.
Yeah.
And now I believe I've done the right thing and gone to them and asked. But, you know, and so hopefully the Holy Spirit can give me another opportunity to reach out and correct it, because it was my mistake. I can't blame it on anybody else, even though it's me.
Right.
You know, and so sometimes you do have to eat those words.
Yeah.
And even though I tried once.
Right.
You go back, eat them again.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. So. And just a quick note, just because, you know, this is under our leadership lessons, is that, you know, podcast, is that as leaders, you know, we have to set the example and be willing to apologize.
Yes.
Because it helps to set the example that we're human too.
Yes.
And there's a lot of leaders that feel like, you know, because we're a leader, we don't apologize, or it's beneath me, or that'll make me come down to their level, or, you know, we got all kinds of ego trips or whatever.
Yeah.
But the reality is that we set an atmosphere in our churches and our groups and our committees, whatever it is, that, you know, what's tolerated and what's sort of not. And I found that to be true with myself,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, everything in this ministry, I set the tone for.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everything. And not because, you know, not because I'm some, you know, dictator, but but because that's the way leadership works.
Yes.
And so you've heard me say everything rises and falls on leadership. And so when there's a breakdown of communication, or when we don't do a good enough job, and I've seen this about myself, when I don't do a good enough job of maintaining and admitting when I'm wrong, people feel like, you know, when they're offended or upset about something, they can cut and run too.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to sort of foster an atmosphere, and I use that term foster because it is like that. It's a constant nurturing, and it's a constant working at it and sort of cultivating, you know, a specific atmosphere. And I think as leaders, we have to really focus on that, you know, cultivating the right atmosphere to be able to say, hey, I was wrong, you know, or I had a bad day. And then we give one another the grace to be human.
That's where I was going to go with that. Yeah. You know, yes, as a leader, we should know when to say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. But also, people have to understand, as a leader, you're also human.
Mm-hmm.
And you're dealing with the same daily stuff that they're dealing with. I don't care if you're a Christian or not, if you're a pastor or not. Being a pastor or whatever doesn't make us perfect.
Right.
You know, we're all dealing with the same life as everyone else.
Right.
It's no excuse. You know, but yet we need to learn when to say we're sorry, but others also need to learn to give us the grace to be human.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and to be able to walk through that ourselves.
Absolutely.
And so there's a balance in that.
Yeah.
We should never feel so arrogant that I don't need to.
Right.
I've seen people like that.
Yeah.
Because of a certain title or whatever, they don't need to.
Right.
Well, sorry, but we all need to, because all of us, as a friend of mine used to say, we're all walking in earth suits.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't matter what titles before, we're all walking in an earth suit. Yeah. And so we have to make sure we extend that grace to others and are willing to extend it and receive it.
Yeah. Someone apologized to me recently, and it was sort of beginning when the Lord started showing me some of this. And they apologized to me about something they said, and it was in a manner that was joking, and I took no offense, you know, just didn't. But and when they began to apologize to me, I cut them off, and I said, "Don't even worry about it." I said, "It didn't bother me. I wasn't offended." And it was after the fact. I remember the Lord really showed me, like, you know, Adam, you have to cultivate the right atmosphere. And I was basically saying, you know, oh no, I wasn't offended by it this time. So if it happens again, you know, no need to apologize.
Oh, wow.
And so the next time I talked to them, I told them. I said, you know, I just wanted to explain. It's not that I was ignoring or didn't think what you did was a big deal. I just wanted to know I wasn't offended at that time by it. I appreciate you apologizing. Yeah. I appreciate that you had the maturity to come to me. But I wasn't offended by it. I just clarified so they knew that, you know, I'm human too. I do sometimes get hurt or get offended or get upset. And, you know, I needed to recognize their maturity in coming to me. Yeah. And I couldn't just brush it off because I wasn't happened to be bothered by it this time around. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
And so as leaders, sometimes we have to also be willing to sit there and accept an apology from someone. And whether we're busy or it just didn't bother us or we're over it or whatever the reason may be, we can really hinder the growth in someone and their ability to see the fullness of what the Holy Spirit's encouraging them to do and accomplish and what He's trying to do in their life.
Yeah.
So it was just something that I, God was really showing me.
Something I've been trying to learn in that is that if they felt offended by it, then you need to receive their apology because they have to work that out.
Right.
That's part of, even though you weren't, they were.
Right.
If they're being convicted, who are we to say no?
Exactly.
When someone's being convicted by Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, the Bible says he who sins you retain are retained.
Right.
And so we need to make sure that we cultivate that, like you said.
Absolutely.
An opportunity that when they, if they need to release that so that they can feel that the sin has been released, then we need to let them.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. Good word.
Absolutely.
Good word.
Do you have one more that was on your mind?
There's always more.
I know there's a lot more in this. And I hate that we're not going to share them all on the podcast, but I just wanted this to be an opportunity where we could, you know, throw some out, get some people some things to think about and, you know, ponder and meditate on. And then we'll do the full teaching in the next couple of weeks. But
wait until you do it, then you can buy the DVD.
There you go. Way to plug. Bingo. Way
to plug. Go to our web store, freshfirechurch.net. No, I'm not joking. There's so much good teaching on there for leaders, for everyone. There's so much good teaching on there on DVDs, and so
yeah.
I encourage you to go there. But one that I really liked was, or not really liked, it hit me. If you can't say it without screaming it, you know. And the word says in Proverbs 25:28, if you cannot control your anger, you are as helpless as a city without walls, open to attack.
Yeah.
Ouch. How many of us leave ourselves open?
Yeah.
By doing that.
Yeah.
By saying things out of anger, because we got to scream it.
Yeah.
You know, some of my family has an Italian, and I'm not, again, you know, has an Italian background, and so Italians are very well known for screaming it. Even if they love you, they're going to scream at
you.
But, you know, if we don't understand that it's not the screaming part, it's the motive behind the screaming part.
Yeah.
That if we're not careful, that, as the word says, we become like a city without any walls.
Mm-hmm.
It just, because it breaks so many things down in our life.
Yeah.
And it opens us up for an attack.
Yeah.
And we got enough attacks as it is.
Yeah.
We don't need to add more to it.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. We put ourselves in a position where we're not protected ourselves.
No.
You know,
I knew somebody that years ago, that this person would get mad so easily at something that you would do, and I know one time, something had happened, and I don't want to give it, but anyway, something had happened, and I was very much willing to go along with this person, and everything was good. I was not angry. I was not upset. Not a problem. But that person acted like a spoiled little brat. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but you know, if I don't get my way, I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And began to scream like an idiot. And I'm like, what happened here?
Mm-hmm.
Just because someone didn't agree with them.
Yeah.
You know, actually, that just happened recently on TV.
Yeah.
You know, it happens so often. If someone doesn't agree, then we begin to charge them against mm-hmm. them. You know, and we begin to yell at them. And, you know, we begin to hurl personal darts at them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we better be real careful, because if we throw personal darts, we're going to get personal
yes.
darts. When you open up that
yes.
that window, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
And so we really need to be careful how that we control our anger. You know, it's, if someone offends us, okay, deal with it, get it over with. Don't speak out of anger. Just keep your mouth shut and let it work through.
Yeah.
You know, use wisdom in how you need to handle it. Instead of, I don't like that, I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Right. Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
That's
good stuff. Good stuff.
These are good. And I, like I said, I can't wait until you do the teaching on it. So are you going to do it on a Sunday morning or on a
Wednesday
night?
I don't know. It probably will end up being, but we'll see. You know, we'll
okay.
see how it works
that
out.
Works.
It's probably going to be Sunday morning coming
that works.
Up.
That
just
works.
Finishing up one series now, so I'll get into this message and see how it goes, but it'll be good. But
that works.
You know, our hope is that, you know, this podcast, it'll give you something to think about, and that you really start paying attention to when you open your mouth, and really pay attention to when you should keep it shut, and what all that the Bible has to say about it. And I know that the full teaching will be a blessing to you in the days and weeks to come. But as always, before we end, I want to encourage you to go and stop by our website. Where you can submit your prayer requests, and
yes.
Where you can give on the website, and you can visit our store and lots of other things. Sign up for our email blast, follow us on social media as well. All the links are there. But just to get more information and to find out more about us and see these mugs that are behind the microphones and all of those kind of things. And just see what the Lord is doing right now here at the church. So. Typically the things here on the podcast are focused for leaders and leaders only, but this was just something I really felt like even as leaders we needed to
yes.
pay attention to. And so but Pastor Donnie, I appreciate you joining me.
Glad to be
and,
here.
And being able to join in on the discussion. And we'll have you back to do some more with us or
this
bring some teaching yourself.
This is good.
Absolutely. So thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And anything else you want to share before we say goodbye to our friends?
Grace and peace, friends.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us and hearing what the Word says about when to keep your mouth shut. And hope it blesses you and ministers to you. And we're always praying for you, always just lifting you up. And in fact, before we go, we will pray with you in the final seconds. Father, we thank you that, God, you are mighty, you're awesome, that, Lord, for your Word today that does give us life. And that it does often bring conviction to help and teach us and to train us in the ways of your Word. And so, Father, I pray that the Word, the things that, Lord, we've shared today, Lord, would touch hearts. Lord, it would soften hearts, that, God, it would open eyes. God, to help us to see, Lord, who you've called us to be as your sons here on this earth. So, Father, I pray that you'll help us. Lord, use the words that we've shared. Use the teaching that will come forth from this, God, to open our hearts, our minds, and our relationships, God. Help us to be more mature in Christ, that, Lord, we can value one another, value those that are around us, Lord, like never before. I thank you, Lord, that relationships will be changed, relationships will mature, and that, God, that you will receive all the glory and the praise for it. We thank you today for it. Bless those that are listening, and God, we give you the glory and praise in your name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks again, brother. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank all of you for listening. Until next time, we pray the fire of God consumes your life. Goodbye, friends.